Happy Sabbath, God's people.
Happy Sabbath to you.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could speak to God? If we could talk to God and the great creator of the universe and have a relationship with him? And wouldn't it be wonderful if God could speak to us? Of course, you know that the answer where I'm going here is that, of course, we can communicate with God, and God communicates with us. And the title of the message is Communicating with God. And we're going to focus on prayer. But of course, when we pray, we are speaking to the great God of the universe. And he hears us. We're going to see from the Bible that he hears us. And we're going to see that according to his will, he will answer our prayers. And he speaks to us through his word. When we are having, developing a relationship with God, his word will guide us and direct us through his Holy Spirit. So he's living in us. So not only does the Holy Spirit allow us to understand his word, but the Holy Spirit will also guide us as we are developing the mind of Christ, character of God. So as we're developing that mind, the Holy Spirit will the Comforter will guide and direct us. And the wisdom that God gives us through his Holy Spirit will help us to make those decisions that will be godly decisions. And so, so how do we communicate with God through prayer? We're going to use the Bible as our guide. Let's see what the Bible has to say. And first, how often should we pray during the day? Well, let's take a look at some examples from the Bible. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3, please. 2 Timothy. How many times a day should we formally pray and communicate with God? 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3. I thank God, Paul writes, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So he's writing to Timothy, and he says that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So here is an example of Paul, who's basically telling us that he prays during the night and during the day, primarily setting aside time with God, for God. If you go to Daniel 6 and verse 10, Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and that writing, of course, was a decree by the king that you could not pray to any other god except the god of the Persians, and on the pain of death, when he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So here we have the example of Daniel, who was praying formally to God, taking time three times a day. But however many times you have formal prayer with God, one thing we should remember is that we should not leave the house in the morning without praying to God. We should be praying in the morning, because once we step out of your house, you're in Satan's world, and you need God's protection. You need the armor of God. And so we should be praying definitely in the mornings before we go out to work or wherever we're going, asking for God's blessings and protection. And most people, when they come home at night, before they go to bed, they will also spend time praying to God. But Is someone more righteous that spends more time praying to God? No. As we're going to see, it's not really the amount of time that we spend, but it's more of the attitude that we have. And if we go to, let's take a look at Luke 18 and verse 9. And we're looking now at, how long should our prayer be to God? Luke 18 and verse 9. And he spoke, Jesus, this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican or tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So here we had the Pharisee with a self-righteous attitude. Oh, I'm glad I'm not like this person. I do this, I do that. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. So the publican had a contrite spirit. He had a repentant spirit. He knew he was a sinner, and he asked God for mercy. Now, of course, that we're not saying that that was a suitable prayer to God, but this showed an attitude. This showed an attitude. And this publican would probably develop a repentant attitude and develop a relationship with God. And as he develops that relationship, he would be able to know God and in a more intimate way, and be and prayers then will become more intimate with God and more and longer. But the main thing is our attitude when we go to God, that we go to God in a humble attitude, in a repentant attitude. So if you go to Luke now 6 at verse 12, Luke 6 at verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he, meaning Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So here we see an example of Jesus going up to the mountain to pray all night. So that's another example. Now, there might be circumstances where we would want to be praying to God all night for a dire emergency or some kind of trial that's going on, that we need God's intervention immediately. And so we might have a situation like that, but normally we wouldn't be going and praying all night long. But again, that this is just another example from the Bible. If you go to Mark, one more, if you go to Mark 14 and verse 32, Mark 14, in verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he, or Jesus, says to the disciples, sit here while I shall pray. And he takes with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, because he knew of what was going to occur, his crucifixion, and says unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Wait here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. So this is very important. We see the struggle, even in Christ, of the flesh and the spirit. The flesh didn't want to go through that crucifixion, but the Spirit of God strengthened him. And here's a very important point. Not my will be done, but your will. So when we're praying, you know, we always have to think about the fact that we're praying to God, yes, but we're praying that he'll answer our prayers according to his will. Because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways are higher than our ways. And he knows, and he has his own timetable. You know, we pray, we want something, we want it right away, you know. And if we don't get it in a short amount of time, we get discouraged. But that shouldn't be our attitude. So we see here, let's continue a little bit. And he continued. So he continued praying and finding them sleeping. He comes back, he finds them sleeping, and he says to Peter, Simon, sleepest you? Could you not watch 1 hour? So apparently Christ went and he prayed for an hour. So he prayed all night on one occasion. At some occasions he would pray for an hour on this occasion. And so these are just examples from the Bible. Again, the length of your prayer is not important. But as you're developing a relationship with God, your prayers will become longer and more intimate. And when I say longer, you know, that's between you and God. And remember, it doesn't mean someone's more righteous because they might be praying for an hour or 2 hours and you might be praying for 10, 15 minutes. It's our attitude. It's our relationship that we have, that we are developing with God. And so verse 38 is very important. Watch you and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Again, you have that battle between the spirit and the flesh. The spirit is ready, is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we need to pray that God will strengthen us through his Holy Spirit so that we will not give in to the pulls of the flesh. If you go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, we have Paul makes a statement here that might be hard to understand about praying. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. He says simply three words, pray without ceasing. Now, how can you pray without ceasing? Well, you can. Because if you have developed a strong spiritual relationship with God, you're thinking about God all the time. When you leave the house, when you go to work, when you come home, when you're driving your car, you know, somebody cuts you off, immediately go to God. Oh, thank you, God, for protecting me. Or somebody at work is upset with you or is behaving in a way that's you don't like. And, you know, right then and there, you're praying in your mind, God, help me to deal with this. Help me to deal with it in a godly way. You know, help me to what to do in this situation. So, you know, when I was first called and I came into the church and probably all new Christians, you know, they pray in the morning, they'll go out, and then they don't think about God the whole day because they go to work and whatever they're doing, and then they come home, and then they remember to pray, or sometimes they might forget. So in other words, during the day, we're not even thinking about God. When we're a new Christian, I know that was the way with me, and as we develop a relationship with God, then not only are you're thinking about God, you're communicating with God. Most of the day. And so that's what Paul meant, that pray without ceasing. Because remember, we're in Satan's world when we leave our home. Even when we're in our home, we're in Satan's world because he's broadcasting through the television, through the internet, and through music. But when we go outside, we're more vulnerable to Satan's evil ways. So we've looked at what our prayer length should be. Let's take a look now at how to pray. Even the disciples wanted to know how to pray. They said to God, to Jesus, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. If we go to Matthew 6 and verse 5, Matthew 6. And verse 5. And Jesus said, and when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door to pray, pray to your Father, which is in secret, and your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward thee openly. So this is another principle. When we're going to communicate with God, try to go into a place where it's quiet, where you're not going to be interrupted, and so you can have that quality time with God. But when you pray, verse 7, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. And then he gives an outline. Now this is an outline, because he just said, you know, don't be repetitive in your prayers. Don't say the same things over and over again. But now he's giving us an outline. And some people don't realize this is an outline, and they'll just, you know, this will be their prayer at night. And he says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the principle here is that God is our heavenly Father, and his name is holy. So we start off by praising God. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want God's kingdom to come. We want his will that's being done on in heaven to be done on earth. And it will when Jesus Christ returns and sets up the kingdom. Give us this day our daily bread. So God knows that we have needs. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our sins as we forgive our sinners. Very important to forgive those who sin against us, because God will forgive us if we don't forgive others. And lead us not into temptation or trials. Now God doesn't deliver us. God doesn't lead us into sin. He doesn't do that. So a better way to understand this is we could say, like, we could read this as saying to God, do not let us fall into the temptation. Don't let us fall into these trials and temptations. Because we look at the word temptation here, it's the word 3989 in the concordance, and it means uncertainty. So lead us not into uncertainty, or don't let us fall into uncertainty. It also refers to the deep or open sea. So it's like this word is like being in the middle of the ocean in the deep and open sea. Help, you know, what's going to happen? Uncertainty, that type of uncertainty. And to lead is the word 1533, and it means to bring in or lead into, bring in or lead into. And the word deliver is 4506, and it means rescue. So in other words, you know, we could interpret this to mean not that God is going to lead us into evil, or but that God will not let us fall into trials and temptations. And if we go back to the verse. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Very important. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if you have something against somebody here in the church, one of the brethren or anybody, family or at work, and you don't forgive them, God is not going to forgive you. That's very important. Until you repent of that. So we need to customize this prayer. It's just an outline, but the disciples wanted to Christ to teach them how to pray. Now, obviously, you know, a prayer is very personal, so Christ couldn't say, you know, this is what you should say. You should, you know, it's everybody's prayer is personal with God, but there are certain things in there, such as praising God, praying for others, asking for your needs, that are very personal. And so our prayer should be personal. So we have to customize the Lord's Prayer and personalize it with your heart and mind. In this way, we develop a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Another principle of praying is that we need to be persistent. If you go to Luke 18, like I said, we want God to answer our prayers like tomorrow, but you know, when he doesn't, we need to be persistent. We need to keep praying. And it's an acronym that I've used before. It's called, I didn't make it up, I got it from somebody else, but it's PUSH. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. Be persistent in prayer. God will answer our prayers in his time, not ours. And sometimes the answer is no. Go to Luke 18. You know, when you're praying for something and, you know, all the doors are closing, you know. I wanted to be an assistant principal when I first started. And after 5-6 years, I got my license. I went out and, you know, to so many interviews over a period of 2 years, maybe 50, 60 interviews. And I got to get to the second interview and sometimes the third interview, but it didn't happen. And then, so there were reasons for that. And finally, God wanted to use me, not as an, he didn't want me to get deeper and deeper into this corrupt educational system by being an administrator, knowing that I probably wouldn't have lasted very long, probably would have clashed with the corruption that was involved in daily school life. And so I realized this is not God's will for me, okay? And I ended up basically becoming more of a union man in the schools and working with the chapter leader to make sure the principal was adhering to the rules of the school and things like that. But that wasn't God's will for me. And so we have to realize sometimes when we're pushing hard and hard and hard for something, we're praying for it, and it's just not happening, that maybe it's not God's will for you. But we have to be persistent. Luke 18 and verse 1. You be persistent until you realize that it's just not going to happen. It's not God's will. And if you push it and push it and push it, sometimes you'll get it. But if it's not God's will, you're not going to be successful. Luke 18 and verse 1. He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray. Don't be disheartened. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but after what he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? So in other words, he's using an example of this unjust judge who's going to give this woman what she wants because she's wearying him by coming to him all the time. That, you know, don't you think God is going to answer our prayers and avenge us speedily? So we have to have patience, and we know that God is love, and that God wants the best for us, and he will answer our prayers according to his will and his timetable. So that's very, very important to understand. And Romans 8. Romans 8 is a little difficult scripture here. Romans 8. Romans 8. Regarding prayer. Romans 8. And verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, and that word infirmities could be translated weaknesses. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession with us, for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. So what it's saying here is that we have God's Spirit, which is essentially Jesus Christ living in us. And there are times when we don't know what to pray for, or we're not on the mark in terms of what we should be praying for. And the Spirit will be praying for us. In other words, Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, will be praying for us to the Father, making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So those that say, well, this is speaking in tongues, no, it's not, because it says with groanings which cannot be uttered. So in other words, we're not hearing anything. We're not aware of it. We're not speaking anything that the Spirit is speaking to God in us, helping us to pray, to communicate with God. And verse 27, and he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit of God will make intercession for us. In essence, Jesus Christ will make intercession for us with God the Father according to the will of God. So now, when we're praying, we need to understand a few things. Sometimes we think that when we're praying, our prayers are just going to bounce off the ceiling. You know, God isn't going to hear us. If you go to 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, 1 Peter 3, 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. So I got a new Bible here. The pages are a little hard to turn. I don't want to lick my fingers. Okay. Here we go to 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. Did I get it? For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. So God will hear the prayer of the righteous. And you are righteous. We are righteous because we have God's Holy Spirit living in us. And that makes us righteous. Our body is a temple. Our temple of the Spirit of God. And, you know, to use this point, you know, we've gone through a lot of death in this congregation, and a lot of illnesses. And seems like almost everybody's getting COVID. And, you know, God put in my mind to start praying to God to cleanse the temple. If our body is the temple of God and the Holy Spirit is in there, it, you know, it's holy. And we should be praying to God to remove this COVID, remove this invader in our holy temple, purify our temple. And because our temple should not have this COVID in it. And, you know, we should be praying to God to cleanse our temple. In other words, see, we're getting a little more personal with God now. We're getting a little more, we're bringing his word into it. Our body is the temple of God. Okay, it's holy. Okay, well then, God, you know, you will heal our infirmities. You know, purify your temple. Your temple, remove this this pestilence from our temple. If you go to Luke, no, first, I'm sorry, 1 John 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5. First John 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. So we have this confidence that God hears our prayers, and that whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. We know that he hears us. And we know that we are communicating with the great God of the universe. If you go to Luke 22 and verse 42, Luke 22 and verse 42, and again, we reviewed this before, but here we have Christ saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So in other words, the point here is that whenever we're praying, we should be praying for God's will to be done. Our will is not always God's will for us. God knows what his will is for us and what his plans are for us and what is best for us. If you go to James 4 and verse 3, James 4 and verse 3, let's go to verse 2. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. So if we're asking for things from God, and it's coming from our lusts, we want them because of our lusts, and, you know, God isn't going to answer our prayers. We should not be asking God amiss for things. That's another principle. And James 1 and verse 5. James 1 and verse 5. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Don't read over this scripture. All you have to do is ask God for wisdom, and he will give it to you. He will give you his wisdom. Just ask him. But let him ask in faith. That's another principle. So whenever we're praying to God, we need to pray in faith that God hears us, and that God it will answer our prayers in his time and in his his way. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we must not be double-minded when we're praying. You know, must not have to be thinking, oh, I don't know if I should pray. God probably will do this for me, you know. All right, we'll give it a shot. Well, you know, we have to be praying to God in faith. In faith. Mark 11 and verse 24. Mark 11. Mark 11. Verse in verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father, which also is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. But verse 24 says, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, some of the Christian denominations take this too far. They say, well, all you have to do is speak it, and God will give it to you. But no, it's according to God's will. So it's perfectly okay to be praying for things that you desire. And it's perfectly okay to believe that you will receive them. And again, if they're not, you know, if they're based on your lusts, you might not receive it. If it's and also, again, remember, it's God's timetable. God's timetable and His will are important factors in answered prayers. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? No, we love our children. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And remember, as Charlie said, we are children of God. So again, God wants to give us good things, but we need to ask and be persistent but again, at some point, you know, if the door is not opening, you know, it's not God's will. You have to come to that conclusion. Colossians 1 and verse 9. It's very important to be praying for others, not just your own needs, but praying for others. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, Paul is saying, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So, Paul is praying for them. He's praying that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And we need to be praying for others also in love. That's how we love, that's one way we love others, by praying for them. And praying that for others, that even our enemies, that God will intervene in their lives, lead them to repentance. Very important to be praying for others. There are some people I've been praying for 10, 15 years. And sometimes there's improvement and sometimes there's not. Sometimes there's a particular person, Allie Martinez, you know, she's been disabled for like 20 years, but she still, you know, suffers from pain periodically, and she's disabled, but God has blessed her and placed her in a place where a nursing home where she can, you know, she gets taken care of, she gets 3 meals a day, and so forth and so on. And so, it wasn't God's will to heal her yet. And so, you know, sometimes when we're suffering or when we're going through trials, you know, God allows that person to stay in that situation, and be a prayer warrior, and be a role model for others, You know, when we see people who are disabled, people who are sick, and you know they're strong with God, that's an inspiration to others. And then there's and then God chooses to answer our prayers sometimes by letting the person pass away, letting that person die. That's an answered prayer too, in a sense. And when you're praying for somebody, and then God allows that person to die, that person now is taken out of the suffering of this world. And we have to remember, well, first of all, you know, when Virgil died, and then Betty shortly after that, I was disappointed with God. And I wasn't pleased with God. And, you know, what's going to happen to Aiden? You know, he needs a place to live. But then God put in my mind, look, we have to remember, God is love. He's love. His ways are higher than our ways. This world is just temporary. The reality is the kingdom of God, where Betty and Virgil are going to live forever. And we're going to live forever in the spirit world of God. So, you know, of course, mourning is all a part of it. But we also should look forward to the joy that we're going to have in the kingdom of God. So, you know, again, you know, God is love. We just always have to remember that. No matter what happens in our life, He is love. He cares about us, and He will strengthen us and get us through this. James 5 and Aiden has been placed in his foster care family, who took care of him for the first few years of his life. They've taken him in and giving him a loving family at a time when he needs it desperately. James 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. So if we're sick, afflicted with something, we should be praying for our healing. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So if you're sick, you can call our pastor, and he can come and anoint you with oil. This is a biblical principle, and pray over you. And or you could have him do it at services too. You know, your leg is hurting or something. You know, after services, he could be anointing you with oil and praying for you. And verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Very important to be praying for one for another. You know, somebody here has an ailment, has a disability, has an issue. You pray for them. You pray for them. Not just here, but family, friends, even people you don't know, people in the world. Doesn't matter. You know, we should be praying for people and people who are, says, confess your faults one to another. Well, you want to be careful there. You know, you don't want to be confessing your faults to everybody. But certain people that you trust and that they're not going to be telling people necessarily, revealing your faults. And you know, the prayer requests that we send to Laura, she sends them out. And those prayer requests, you know, we should be praying for those individuals. Either have a prayer list, or in my case, I usually have it in my mind, the people that I'm praying for. And every night I continue to pray for them until they get better or until they pass away. We should be praying one for another. That's the principle. that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. So again, God hears the prayers of righteous men and women, and we are righteous because we have God's Holy Spirit. But as I was saying before, sometimes God's answer is no to our prayers. Sometimes he says no. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12. And God is no respecter of persons. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. And Paul had these revelations that God gave him. And he says in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So he was afflicted with something. Some would say his eyesight, but it could have been something else, some pain or whatever. A thorn in the flesh, as he described it, coming from Satan, and God allowed it. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times." So he prayed three times to the Lord, different times, I assume, "that he might depart from me." So Paul was praying to God fervently that that God would take this affliction away. And then in verse 9, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so when you're going through a trial, and sometimes we have to go through trials because we have to be tested in terms of are we going to follow God's will or to learn specific lessons. But we go through trials, sometimes God allows us to go through those trials because he says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." So your weakness, you know, you're in a wheelchair or whatever, or you're disabled, but yet you're strong in the faith. You can still be strong in the faith. You could still be a prayer warrior. You could still be a light in this dark world. And God is saying to us, "My grace is sufficient for you. I called you. I gave you unmerited, because of my unmerited favor. And, you know, you didn't deserve it. I called you. I gave you my grace. You're on your way to the kingdom of God. But I'm not going to heal that disability of you because my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So God told Paul no. And Paul had to live with that infirmity. 2 Thessalonians 3. We should be praying for the ministry also. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 3. In verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." So Paul is asking the Thessalonians to pray for us. And it's very important to be praying for the ministry. You know, Satan attacks the ministry also, probably more so than others. And the ministry has a great responsibility to shepherd the flock. And we should be praying for Mr. Van Osdale and his wife, Mr. Kubik, and the ministry, that God will strengthen them in their duties. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications," and supplications are specific prayers. They're like petitions. A supplication word, 1162. It's a petition to God. It's a request, specific request to God, something that you want God to deal with, is very important, and to deal with ASAP. So I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and honesty. So we ought to pray for people in authority, particularly for kings or for our government leaders. We should be praying for them. Now, I don't like Joe Biden's policies. I wouldn't vote for him, but he's the president. So we have to respect that office, the office of the presidency. We should be praying for, I pray for Joe Biden that, you know, God will keep him in good health. God will strengthen him, but also give him wisdom. And, you know, I don't like his policies. And I, you know, in other places where I'm praying, you know, that, you know, the courts will strike down these mandates, and that the court will strike down the Roe versus Wade, the abortion law. And but we should be praying for our leaders. We should be praying for our new mayor, Eric Adams, I think his name. We should be praying for him, that God will help him to make righteous decisions. So we should be praying for those who are in authority over us. The office a person occupies, is we should respect. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians. Okay, here we go. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we should be thankful in our prayers, thankful for all the blessings that God has given us, and for all the things that the ways that he has blessed us. Always be thankful to God every day in your prayers. And let's go to Matthew 5 and verse 44. Matthew 5. God answers your prayers. Be so thankful to him. And Whatever's happening in your life that God is intervening, be very thankful. Whether it's health issues or financial issues, always be thankful. Matthew 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, Jesus says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Remember, God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But as we're developing the mind of Christ, this is what we have to focus on. We have to be loving our enemies, praying for our enemies. Now, we pray for them, but we don't. We, you know, we pray that God will lead them to repentance, though. You know, if you have a homosexual friend or somebody that you're praying that God will, not your enemy necessarily, but in the sense that you're praying that God will lead them to repentance and change. But regarding praying for your enemies, those that are persecuting you, you know, that doesn't mean you have to hang out with them, be friends with them, but you pray for them. You pray for them. And particularly if it's somebody at work that you see every day, you know, God can turn the hearts of your enemies towards you. God can cause a relationship to change, and God can protect you from those who are trying to harm you. but we need to have that attitude of praying for those who are going to try to that are not our friends and that are not our might be our enemies in that sense. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, as we wrap up, Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4. Verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Again, supplication is a petition, something that you're focusing on strongly. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. So when we're praying to God, you know, he gives us and about things that are of concern. He gives us his peace, so we're not overly anxious, so we're not overly worried about these things. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, in the Bible, there are certain prayers that I'm going to just give you the scriptures that you should, you know, when you get a chance, read them, because we want to have a more intimate relationship with God. And in order to have a more intimate relationship, the best way is through our prayers, as we, you know, talk to our Father in heaven. And he wants to hear from us like any father wants to hear from their children. But we want an intimate relationship. You know, how's it going today? You know, and tell God about how your day was, and, you know, and some of the issues that you need his help in, and praying for others, and being thankful. And John 17 and verse 1 to 26 is Jesus's heartfelt prayer to the Father. Read that sometime and you can see Jesus praying to his Father and the intimacy there, and to give you an example of how your dialogue with God could be more intimate. Also, 1 Kings 8 and verse 22 to 30, we have Solomon's prayer. When he's dedicating the temple, it's a public prayer, but you know, he's praying to God for God's blessings on the people, and that the people, he will help the people to repent, and that he will listen to their prayers now that the temple is there, and that they're praying towards the temple, that God will answer their prayers. And then there's Psalm 51, which is David's prayer of repentance, Psalm 51, when he had the affair with Bathsheba and he caused Uriah, Bathsheba's wife, to be killed in battle. And this is his prayer of repentance, very heartfelt prayer. So, in summary, what should we include in our prayers? Well, praise for God, of course. Praise for God and acknowledging his greatness and holiness. Thanksgiving for all of God's blessings. Be specific. Be specific. Ask God for forgiveness in a repentant spirit for sins committed. Forgive those who have sinned against you and love them by praying that God will lead them to repentance and even turn their hearts towards you. Praying for those in need. Have a prayer list if you need one, a physical prayer list. Those who are in need, those who are going through trials, sickness, job issues, financial issues. Pray for your needs. Don't forget to pray for your needs, too, and ask God for his continued blessings and protection for you and your loved ones. And ask for God's guidance and blessings on future plans. You know, you have future plans, ask for God's blessings on these future plans. and future desires. And ask God to use you in preaching the gospel and serving others also. Ask God to help you to determine your spiritual gift and to use your spiritual gift in blessing others. And you say, well, I don't know. I don't think I have a... We all have spiritual gifts because we all have the fruit of the Spirit. That's a spiritual gift right there. So, but many times the Spirit gives individuals certain specific gifts, gift of encouragement, the gift of prayer, the gift of helping others, of serving others. But we all have the Holy Spirit, so love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, self-control. We all have those faithfulness. We all have those characteristics of the fruit of the spirit, and they are spiritual gifts. And so we need to ask God to help us to preach the gospel and serve others, be a blessing to others. And finally, asking all in the name of Jesus Christ according to God's will.